All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're continuing with our study here. We finished up the lovers of them own selves, covetous. I told you there's 25 of these things. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, dismissed. That's very disconcerting if you read this. This is the Lord's epitaph on man right before the rapture, not just in the world, but also in the church, which is a terrible thing. When you look at that and the potential that you have to be this way, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. We've just studied that, and that's just continence is being able to control yourself. Incontinence is no control over anything. You're seeing that now, both from Christians and both sides of the aisle, if you're trying to politicize things and so on and so forth. And as a matter of fact, if this thing continues to roll forward, and something doesn't happen to her, when you start seeing the filth and the nastiness that comes out of this lady that they just arrested, you're going to be kind of shocked that some of the people that you've put a lot of faith and hope in and think that they are the answer to man's problems, you're going to be shocked when you see the debauchery they've been involved in for years and years and years. And so you want to be careful about jumping behind somebody that you don't know what all's going on. You're going to be surprised. I'll just say that. Now, well, where do you get this and where do you know that? That's the problem. You spend too much time fooling with that stuff. It creates a problem for you. But you're going to see incontinence played out. People that have no restraint whatsoever in their behaviors, even when it comes to and involving children. Which, see, you can't understand that because you're somewhat normal. But you let the thing run with you, it's like heroin or it's like crack. You have to have more and more and more and more to get the same deal. So anyway, enough about that. Without natural affection, true space, false incontinent. Now here's the thing we want to deal with today, fears. Take your Bible and come to Genesis chapter 49. Genesis 49. Father, bless your word and thank you for it and appreciate, Lord, giving us the opportunity to gather today and help us to use our heads and to be smart about things. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 49. Now, here's the definition, the biblical definition of fierce. It's a quickness to attack. It's an eagerness for blood. It's vehement, violent, furious, savage, ravenous, easily and quickly enraged. Like a monster is fierce for blood, like a fierce wind or a fierce lion. An insatiable bloodlust is a good way to think about that, where they just have to see somebody hurt. The fierceness is not governed at all by any thoughts. They don't care who they hurt. They don't care what they have. There's no stop in between. There's no conscience in an individual. The fierceness is an outplay of lovers of my own self. So I'm going to get what I want and I'll kill you to get it. Cain comes to mind right off the bat. He exercised fierceness. Why? Because the Lord said, Cain, why is your countenance fallen? Don't you know if you bring what your brother said, what I told you to bring, everything will be fine between me and you. And Cain was so angry that he slew Abel. Drop of the hat. Mad. Just like that. Just exploded on him like that and hit him in the head with a rock or a stone or strangled him to death. It doesn't say. Beat him to death or whatever. You're seeing that now. You're seeing individuals with no conscience even about hurting innocent people. No thought about anything. Get into a crowd of people, floor the gas plane, and just bodies flying everywhere. Driving into church buildings, setting the building on fire, could care less. Makes no difference at all. Chain the doors in a foreign country not long ago. Chain the doors of the place where they were gathered, set the building on fire. That's stuff they did back in the dark ages. That's stuff that was done by the Catholics years ago when they were persecuting Christians. Fierceness, fierceness. I hate you just because of who and what you're affiliated with and associated with. You need to understand that in you, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. That emanates from you. Do you understand? You don't have to always be telling somebody. They can tell right off the bat. There's a spirit in you that's speaking to a spirit in them, and the spirit in them hates you. It despises you. You ever wonder why sometimes you walk up to somebody and it's kind of like, man, are they having a bad day or what? And you're checking yourself going, I think I was nice. I don't think I acted like a jerk. There's something in them that sees something in you, and it's manifested through your flesh. I can't emphasize this enough, because you need to be aware that some of the people you're dealing with in the last days have that fierceness, and they don't have the stopgap you do. You pause, you hesitate before you act. They don't pause. They don't hesitate. They just soon waste you as look at you. That's what you're seeing now. It doesn't even make any sense. There's a lot of things that are going on now, and you know they're not giving you these statistics. You have to know where to look to get it. They're not showing you the rise in crime. They're not showing you what's happened since they're going to defund and disorganized. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, man, we got a problem here. I called the police and nobody showed up. Well, surprise, surprise, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. Well, how's that working out for you? Not everybody's cut out to do that. Sometimes you don't appreciate things until it's gone, and then once it, quote, resets, you won't be able to get that back. That line in the sand that's been around for a long time, since the days of the Wild, Wild West, when they started realizing that the book of Genesis is correct. And when the Lord started out with a nation of people, He realized they can't run a nation without having laws to go by. And you know what they did? And the first nation came around. They said, "You being our ruler, you being our God, you being over us, and having some preacher telling us what you said, kind of deal. We want to be like all the other nations. Give us a king." And the preacher said, "You don't want a king. You got a king. You got God. Just do what God told you to do, and everything will be fine. You know, if you do this, He'll do that, and if you don't do this, He'll do that. That's pretty plain. That's clear. Let's just go by that. And let's do it that way. No, we want a king." And you know what happened? They got a king, and have been downhill ever since. That's man saying, God, even though He's my creator, is not going to tell me what to do. Man by nature is a rebel. You want to be careful not to catch that. The idea is that, well, it's okay for me to rebel. Listen, you not being law-abiding is saying to yourself, no laws are good. Okay, I'm against seatbelts. Okay, don't wear it. You know why you wear it? You wear it for two reasons. Number one, you don't want to get a ticket. That's the truth. And number two, you think, well, if I did hit somebody, I'd hate to go through the windshield and mess up my pretty face. But you're hypocritical when it comes to that. Well, I don't believe in the speed limit. Well, why do you do it? I can tell you why you do the speed limit. Do you know why you do the speed limit? You're afraid to get a ticket. You honestly don't think that you can run 100 miles an hour because you think you can handle it. That's why you speed. You go out on the highway, speed limit says 65. You run 85. Why do you run 85? Because you can handle it. It's not going to happen to you. Everybody else is going to have a wreck. Everybody else is going to have a blowout. I realize you're Mario Andretti at heart. I know you're Kyle Petty and you're all the other, Richard Petty or whoever's around nowadays. I don't keep up with them anymore. I realize you're all those kind of things. Well, then get on a racetrack and blow it out. But the fact of the matter is that certain rules apply. I'm going to show you. You get to your house and somebody comes to your house and says, "I'm coming in." And you say, "No, you're not." And you say, "Well, yeah, no, the laws don't apply to me. You tell me I can't come to my house." There is a law that tells you this is eminent domain and I can keep it and you're not coming in here. Right? Don't be a hypocrite. Don't pick and choose what the rules are. They say, what are the rules? It's to govern your flesh. I showed you that in Galatians 5. If I walk in the flesh, then I won't do the things of the Spirit. It's learning to control this. Now, I don't know about you. See, a lot of you are better than I am. You're more disciplined than I am. You're very stoic. You're very able to control things. I like the Bible because it's constantly telling me, watch it, watch it, watch it, watch it. Now that's for me. Some of you are like, oh, I'd live this way without the Bible. Well, God bless your heart. You're the exception to the rule. But the Bible's not just written to you that have already got everything under control. Some of you, the attitude that you have is that you don't need God telling you anything. I mean, you know what? You could probably just save yourself. You're so righteous. If I were to ask you today if you were a sinner, you go, well, I mean, yeah, maybe a little, but I'm certainly not deserving of prison. I'm certainly not. You sure? What if we put you in prison for your thoughts? If the Bible's right, there's none good, there's none righteous, there's none that seeketh after God. If the Bible's right. If the Bible's right, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But what happens? Well, the incontinence comes in, it leads to fierceness. I'm going to have my way. Now, that's not just teenage rebellion. That's not just the stomp and turn. That's not just I'm grabbing my bag and running away and I'm going to join the Marine Corps since you're not going to tell me what to do. It's not that. It's more than that. This is addressed to the last days population before the rapture of the church. And what he's saying is, if you're not careful, you're going to get caught up with all this stuff. Now, I realize some of you laugh like Sarah does. Sarah comes over there and, you know, he finds out she's going to have a baby and so on and so forth. The men are in there talking. Sarah's eavesdropping and she's listening. And the Lord said, Sarah's going to have a baby. And she laughed. And she said, ain't going to happen. And the Lord came and says to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? And then he calls Sarah in there and says, Sarah, why'd you laugh? And she goes, oh, I didn't laugh. He said, you did too. I heard you laugh. You made fun of what I said. Well, a better rendering would be, well, I know what King Jimmy says, but you don't live in the days of King Jimmy. If King Jimmy was good enough for Paul and Silas, it's good enough for me. You don't think you're going to be held accountable to that, Christian? You're going to be held accountable up there. You say, why? God wrote it. That settles it. But people nowadays, they downplay that stuff. They bring that stuff down. You say, well, preacher, you know, listen, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if this is the end of America. I don't know if this is the setup prior to the rapture. I don't know if this is the setup for the Antichrist any more than you knew if World War II was the beginning of that and Hitler was marching through here and the spirit of Antichrist was in him and he was destroying the Jews and all that other kind of stuff. Right after that comes the Balfour Declaration, and then they wind up being a nation in 1948. And then since then, it's just been unsheeted blazes since that time. You say, why? This thing started way back in the book of Genesis. I can't tell you that. The thing is how does it apply to you individually? It could be your nation's gone, shot out. Well, who didn't know that? Who can't see that? At what point do you all of a sudden say, you know something, I think it's time that America gets it in the neck? Why can't you amen that? Why can't you say, Lord, you know you've been good to us for a long time, but I'm wore out with them talking about you, and I'm wore out with them laughing at Christians, and I'm wore out of them mocking, including the Christians and the people in the pulpit. I'm wore out with it, Lord. Let the hammer fall. I know where I'm going. Amen. That should be the cry of every Christian instead of, I want my rights. I want my rights. I want my rights. You ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm like, Lord, take them if you got to do that to get their attention. Drop the hammer on them. Get a few of them saved. Tell them to get on the ark before we get out of here. But I'm wore out with these Christians that are wringing their hands and wetting their britches because, well, I mean, I just don't know why this is happening, you know. God bless America and all that. God bless America? Are you seeing the cesspool of filth? I know you're watching it. You ain't fooling me. I know you're looking at it all the time. You have a steady diet of it. It's on your face this morning while I'm preaching to you. You're just watching it all the time. Just looking at it all. You're just glued to it. Are you watching the cesspool of filth coming out right now of what the people in the high positions, the big boys with the high dollars, are you watching what they've been spending their money on? I guess you don't care since it wasn't your kids. I guess you don't care as long as gas prices stay down. I guess you don't care as long as you can still get a loaf of bread for a dollar. I guess it doesn't make a difference. I kind of turned a blind eye to those things as long as they're trafficking to other kids, as long as they're not your kids. That stuff's been around for years and years and years, and God's watched it and watched it and watched it and watched it and watched it. And finally, you know what he said? This is going to be the end of everything. And you know what Christians are doing? I just don't know why. Why would the Lord punish us like that? What makes you think you're being punished? Why don't you do the Lord's supposing the just and the unjust? Yeah. So you know what? This nation living the way it should, shouldn't it get a spanking? Yeah. I think it should. I mean, that's just my opinion. But if that's true, I'm going to be here to catch it when they catch it. Okay, well, for me, the sooner the better. I'm just telling you right now. I mean, I want the Lord to get up a load right now and literally blow the horn while I'm talking and get me out of here. So you're just trying to escape. Yeah, you're right, I am. I've had enough. I'm wore out with that cesspool of filth that just every time you turn it on, oh my God, oh my God, did you see what happened? Oh my, it's been going on since forever before they even had news media. And a lot of it's Christians involved, holding signs, carrying signs. I'm with them about this right and about that right and about so on and so forth. What about God's rights? Are you not bought with a price? Are you serving God in your body and soul and spirit, which are His? Are you self-serving, Esau? You self-serving, Cain? Have you decided, I don't really care who it hurts, who it bothers? in the last days, this fierceness right here is not just in the world, it's in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, where individuals are taking advantage of other individuals for their own agenda. I'm watching churches being torn apart, I mean split more than in half, multifaceted splits, because people carrying their own agendas. You know, I was wondering the other day, we used to do this, I don't know if y'all still do this or not, but I had a little bit to do with some hiring and recruits and all that other kind of stuff back a bajillion years ago. But one of the things that started being around big, well, it was MySpace back then and some of the other social media things around. We pulled that information on an individual before they came in for hiring. I know it's an invasion of their privacy. But you have a guy that you're going to give, or a girl you're going to give a badge and a gun to, that can deprive people of their freedom and or their life. Well, suppose they kill somebody unjustified. The person's still dead. Well, we can put them in jail. They're still dead. You got to do your due diligence. I wonder if some of the garbage that some of you folks traffic in, I wonder if your employer knew that. I wonder if they'd hire you. I wonder if they wouldn't fire you. I wonder if you were a teacher, I wonder if they'd let you keep teaching if they knew you were running around out here acting the fool. I wonder if they'd do that. I don't grab that stuff. You can't blame me for getting frustrated with it. A Christian ought to know better than that. I hold you to a higher standard than that. Listen, back when I was there, maybe everybody didn't do right. There were some of them that messed up. We had some bad ones. I think the hammer should fall more on them than anybody else. You say, why? They are held to a higher standard. They should know better. So they ought to get the hammer dropped on them. They ought to be maxed out every time it turns around. You say, why? Because they betrayed the people's confidence that put them where they are. And a Christian, you've been given a confidence. You're expected to use your head for something besides a hat rack. And I watch that stuff and I think to myself, I cannot believe a Christian is trafficking in that garbage. Spreading that filth, spreading that trash. Just I wish you, why don't you spread Jesus?
Amen.
Wish you were busier doing that, but you just spread filth. You're like the Lord of the Flies, Beelzebub. You're like the devil-possessed man of Gadarene. It don't make no difference to you. Everybody's afraid of you because they're looking. And that goes for you people that are clogged into it. And you're just watching what somebody else is saying.
Right.
Well, the Bible teaches you in the book of Proverbs, if you take away the ear, the mouth stops talking.
Yes. Yes.
I'll tell you why they keep posting it, because you're listening to it.
Right.
I don't understand Christians doing that. So I can't get my head around it. It doesn't make sense to me. A Christian ought to know better. A Christian of all people shouldn't be murmuring, griping, and complaining. A Christian ought to say, good Lord, step it up there. Go ahead, drop the hammer. It's okay. Well, I appreciate it, Lord. You shouldn't be so self-preserving that you're like, now, Lord, wait till I'm out of here and let it fall on my kids and my grandkids. Oh, you stinking cowards, you. Why don't you man up for a change? I ain't trying to settle an argument with my fist. Them days are long gone for me. But I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. Some spiritual character would be refreshing in the day and time in which we live. And you ought to be willing to take a hit so that you can preserve something if the Lord tarries for your kids and your grandkids. But instead, you're teaching your kids and grandkids, hold your ground and stand up for your rights. What is that? That's not Christ at all. Pete comes out there, he's going to face the army. You know what happened? Out comes the sword. You notice I'm staying on the left side a long time today? I'm working on that. I'm going to give you equal time here. He pulls out the sword, cuts off the ear. You know what the Lord says to him? Peter, you insane? What's wrong with you? Don't you know we're not here to kill people? We're here supposed to be here to save people, to help people. Peter, don't you know you're supposed to be willing to just let this thing run its course? Didn't I tell you back when I called you the devil? Didn't I tell you this is why I came into the world? Why, when I was a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in the manger, I was wrapped in swaddling clothes for a reason. This is my destiny. This is what the Lord wants me to do. This is what the Father has for me to do. Why are you trying to go against the governmental officials arresting me, Pete? This is all part of my plan. Well, you know, that Bible says he told them to go get a sword. Hey, you braying donkey, you, let me explain something to you about using the Bible to facilitate your agenda. That had to do with protection against robbers and people that were trying to steal for them when they're walking on the back roads. And the Lord sets that straight by saying, I didn't give you that sword for that. That sword was to use for your protection against people that were trying to take something from you. But when it comes to God's agenda, God's not like, yeah, let's get us an army and let's fight against them. Let's become a patriot. What is a patriot now, and who do you have to join up with to be one? Some of you are more convinced, you're more involved in what's going on in the United States of America in a cotton-picking presidential election than you are seeing Jesus crowned and having been down here on the face of this earth. But if he gets in, what will happen? The same thing that's been happening since Cain. You ain't fooling. You ain't worried about this nation, you hypocrite, you. You're worried about you. You won't be able to get your food. Good, might be able to lose a pound or two. Been on a 500 diets as it is, and see, well, you know, yeah. See, it's self-preservation, but you're teaching a generation behind you and one behind that. You're teaching them something the Lord never intended to teach them. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full on His wonderful face. The things of this earth will grow strangely dim. The light of His glory and grace. You say, why are you teaching that? You got something in your eye. You got something in your eye. You're looking at the splinter in everybody else's eye. But you know what you got? You got a telephone pole sticking out of your head. And you're hitting everybody now. And the devil's using you and all that media stuff out there to get people that aren't looking otherwise. They don't have to look otherwise. You make sure you send them the fair, the unadulterated, the balanced reports of what you've been reading everywhere else. Why, you hypocrite, you. You hypocrite, you. Why don't you do it for your side of the political aisle? I can give you just as much filth on the Republicans as I can on the Democrats. You've let to understand. You can't even grab your... You can't wrap your mind around the fact that whole thing is played out there on a chessboard up there in heaven, and that whole thing is like watching the old WWF. Ric Flair and the Zip the Zam, Dusty Rhodes and all them, they're out there, Purple Haze, Andre the Giant, all those guys come out like they're going to rip each other's heads off, and then they go back in the back and cash all their money out and take a shower in the locker room and stuff together, get in the same limo and go off and have a steak dinner. And think, what a bunch of fools, what a bunch of idiots, what a bunch of idiots, paying us to put on a show. And you just sit there and you're just looking at that stuff and you're thinking, well, it's Republican and Democrat. Well, what is it in China? What it is in Korea? How about Vietnam? How about India? How about Africa? We've been to Africa. How about Switzerland? You don't understand. That whole thing's orchestrated. Don't you realize what the Lord says? I set up the kings and I take them down. But you want Saul, don't you? You want a king like everybody else, don't you? You want to be the number one nation, don't you? You can't be number one without killing people to stay there. You have to defend your rights, right? Or somebody will take them from you. You can't be on the top of the heap without killing people to do it. You have to convert them to your theology. Well, what happened to free will? Don't you believe in free will? That's the gospel of the Bible. I didn't mean to upset you, Brother Broussard, but I... Now, folks, I've been sitting on this stuff for a long time, and I've been doing pretty good at keeping my mouth shut about it. But I'm talking now to Christians. I'm not taking one side of the aisle or the other. Right. I'm talking about the reason some of you are so cotton-picking, panic-stricken is not over the virus. It's over what's the virus going to cost you economically and what's going to happen to the world and how's it going to be. And, oh, my God, as one lady told me, if I have to go back at the end of August and my kids can't go back to school, what will I do? I won't know how to handle it. I don't believe I'm thankful for the teachers, but I can't have my kids at home anymore. So you're against the shutdown because you're worried about your kids, but you having to take care of your kids. Should have thought about that before you had them. You had them and said, I can't wait till they're six so I can send them out. Nowadays, you don't even wait till six. Nowadays, it's four. Get to kindergarten. Get to preschool. You know, in the interest of their intellect. Do you not realize what that mindset has done? The ones that are raising the most Cain right now are the ones that had that, let's get their kindergarten and education, let's put education first. Well, how's that working out for you? Them people aren't acting like they got any education at all. They're fierce, despisers of them that are good. They can't stand any kind of moral fabric or fiber. And they'll kill you till they get what they want to do. Dog eat dog. Cannibals. That's what it is. Genesis 49. I'm starting to feel a little bit better. Although I think Amy might have put a little extra shot or something in that thing this morning. All right. Notice what happens in Genesis chapter number 49, verse 6. O my soul, come not thou unto thy secret and unto the assembly of mine honor. Be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in the in Israel. You know what he said? He said, they messed up and my fierceness against them is going to be this way. Why? I'm going to mimic the fierceness that they had of them getting their way, doing what they want to do. Come to Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs 6. Just look at a few of these this morning. Now, I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of how you've responded to these things and those kind of things. I really do appreciate it. But I'm trying to at least cleanse out or clean out the world's mindset. I haven't said one thing about mask, don't mask, distance, don't distance, quarantine or don't quarantine. I haven't said any of that stuff. You say, why? Because each of you has different reasons and different reasons for you doing what you're doing. I'll leave that up to you. You're smart enough to make that decision. What does that have to be discussed in a pulpit this morning? I'm not trying your spirituality to show how spiritual you are by whether or not you come out here and stick your neck out for Jesus. Who would have ever thought, stick your neck out for Jesus? You're more afraid of a bug than you are. Yeah, more afraid of the bug than I'm afraid of the Lord. Yeah, that's what's been said. Are you serious? You literally are putting your congregation in a position where to you, they show how bold they are to take the chance of getting what could be contagious and could cost them their life. But to you, that's real spirituality. Well, I was reading my Bible. I had some time to read on the plane and up there where I was preaching in the morning and the evening time up there. So I was in the Bible quite a bit. And then I like being in the Bible because it helps to keep me straight. And I'm looking through the fruit of the Spirit and I don't see anything in there about you have to show everybody how brave you are by being stupid.
Right.
I'm reading through the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. I don't see anything in there about showing how bold you are by making a public statement on social media. I mean, the Lord doesn't do that kind of stuff unless you try to twist the Scriptures and to make it fit how you want it to fit. I don't care if you got guns or don't have guns. If you got one, you better know how to use it. You say, why? Somebody take it away from you and use it on you. Whenever you have one, that means every fight you're in, there's a gun present. You better be aware of that. Well, bless God, I'll be, okay, great, no problem. Wyatt Earp, I got it. John Wayne, no problem. Can you say John? Can't say John Wayne anymore. Because he killed Indians or something. I don't remember. They want to change the name of the airport out in Oklahoma and take down some college has, because, is it Woodrow Wilson? Okay, Princeton. Are you kidding me?
Well.
I'm sorry. That stuff is comical to me. That statue, it's going to get me. Well, then don't walk by it. Well, could I ask you a question? Just look, this is just me, a little pea brain thinking like this. Could I ask you a question? Where's the outcry against drinking and drugs?
Right?
I mean, isn't that destroying more in our society than a statue? Isn't that destroying more in our society than history? And then they're telling the truth about a lot of the history. Not all the history, but they're telling a lot of the truth about the bits and pieces they pick out of that. Where's the outcry about that? Where's the outcry about pornographic things on your television set? How come nobody's going, that's killing, that's ruining America? Where's the outcry? Well, of course, now you're beginning to see why they're not against that stuff, because if you live in glass house, you be careful who you throw stones at. Right? So it's like, well, you know, we don't want to put anything legislatively in there that might hinder somebody from us getting what we want to get. Because it's legal, but it's not moral. Well, now it's illegal and immoral. I hate to tell you this. This is bad. This is the devil in me. I understand that. But I got to be honest. I'll be glad when the judgment seat of Christ is over. But I'll be glad when the millennium's over. I'm going to get me a big bag of popcorn. I'm going to sit down with my friends. And I'm going to say, do we get to ask questions? I'm going to be asking a lot more than, where's Jimmy Hoffa? I am. I'm just telling you right now. Who in the cat here was behind that plane that went down they never found?
Right.
Where's that thing at?
Right.
Well, you know, we really didn't do that. We replaced it with people. Okay, good. Show me where it was parked. And what'd you do with the people on there?
Right.
We cloned them. Oh, really? Do the clones have souls? You know what's a strange thing to me, though? People nowadays are more worried about things that don't affect you anyway, one way or the other. They're whacked out. Look at this thing in Proverbs chapter number 6, if you could please, and come all the way down to verse 19. Now, he just gives you the information there on what he's going to do as far as blessing them and what he's going to do as far as cursing them. Verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. That's tied right in those with individuals that the Lord says are an abomination to him. You say, what are they? They're fierce because they're lying. They're telling you something about somebody that's not true. Let me show you it played out. Come to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I was just in a place and talked to a fellow up there. They live out in the backside of nowhere. I mean, literally nowhere. They've had one case of this virus thing in their entire county because it's a rural area and it's all farmers and stuff like that. And he said, Preacher, we ain't had no problems with this. He said, life hadn't changed for us at all. He said, it's continued right on the same way it was. He said, the only problem, this is profound, the only problem we've had that has disrupted our way of life in that farming community is the people that are constantly glued to the news media. He said, you know what they're doing? They're stirring up panic among people that used to not even panic, even back in the days of World War II and Vietnam, Korea. These are people that have been around for years and years and years, and they've always been real stable. But now there's this constant input, and he said, it's not that the people are watching the media, it's the ones that are watching the media are telegraphing it to the otherwise calm, settled down people. I'm talking about people that live in a rural area that raise animals and farm for a living and that kind of a thing. He said, these people are generally considered to be, you know, stupid and ignorant. He said, you'd be surprised how informed they are. And he said, the only thing that's created a panic in our churches is people that are listening to other people and saying things that don't have anything to do with our county whatsoever. You would literally think the thing is right outside the door, that if you open the door, rah, it gets on you. And he said, I'm for protecting the people and the nursing homes and all that. They've locked them down. And he said, and I understand that. I understand what the reasoning is behind that and protect them. But he said, it has created among especially our elderly population that has been through some horrible things like the depression and stuff. He said, they're flipping out. I said, tell them to turn off the news. They're not watching the news. He said, they're getting it from other people. Well-meaning. You're a false witness. You're trying to scare people into your agenda. That's what you're trying to do because you're scared. Panic is rampant. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Thank you, Brother Jerry. Verse number 50. 28:50. The Bible says, and a nation of fierce countenance which shall not regard the person of the old nor show favor to the young. Well, how about that? Where's that? Right in your Bible. We're talking about fierceness. What do? They have a fierce countenance. That means they don't care about you. How would I describe fierce? I'd do that by a guy I saw a picture of one time. He had filed all of his teeth down to a point to make him look like a monster, a ghoulie monster. That must have really hurt. But at any rate, he filed his teeth down and stuff like that. A fierce person would be somebody like having rotting flesh dangling from their teeth. And like a sulfuric sort of a dead sort of a nasty smell coming out of their breath. And every time they open their mouth, it comes through that flesh, and it's just for the purpose of destruction. Well, look right there. You know what he says? They're the old people and the young people. They don't care about them. Let's get rid of all the old people. Well, I'm kind of getting to be an old people. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, now you think about the stairs before you go down them. You say, why? Because you're thinking how long it'll take you to recover if you fall. Some of you kids, you run down there, get out of the way, old man. Well, I'm just thinking for a minute, if I do go down, how long will it take me to get back up, if I do get back up, you know? Or if I get back up, I got to go to the hospital. So I'm a little bit more conservative in my approach to things because I realize there's pain associated with mistakes.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
But fierce countenance, nations that could care less about what? They're old and they're young. You say, why? They're a drain on the society. So what are you seeing? You're seeing old people that are quarantined and they're allowing them to pass on off the scene. And you're seeing young people used like cannon fodder to satiate the needs and desires of the people in power. And you got your stinking head in the sand if you don't believe that. That's why they don't want you bringing your kids to church. That's why they don't want you bringing them up the right way. Something's wrong with you parents. See, you just turn them over to the state and let us use them however we see fit to do what? Take care of that class in between. When you get to a certain age, you're not worth anything anymore. How am I doing so far? Daniel chapter number 8. Stop off at Job. Let's make it Job. Preacher, and I never heard nobody ever say something so stupid. Well, quit watching TV so much and you might realize there's something else to life.
Amen.
The devil made it easy for you to be able to get information. It's at the click of a button now. Literally. Now, I don't say this in an arrogant way, but I have individuals that are real valuable to me because they sort through a lot of reams of information. I don't have time to do it. But if you don't have somebody like that, you might want to be careful about just having a steady diet of that all the time. Here's what I've learned, if the Bible's right. What goes in your eye affects your heart.
Yes. Amen.
What you read. You know what you'll do? You'll take that Bible and you'll turn it into something that fits you. You know what you'll do? You'll cherry pick verses out of there to go, yep, there it is, right there. That's exactly what I... You better be careful. You better be careful. You say, why? Something's affected your heart. Your heart's done the interpretation. God says, a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know what will happen to you? You get to watching a steady stream of that stuff all the time. You go to the Bible and you're thinking, okay, well, this is this and this is this and this is the apocalypse and this is the plagues that are coming and this is the pestilence that's coming and these are the earthquakes. And now you're tracking earthquakes. You got an earthquake tracker up there that since tells you when the earthquakes are going off, when they're not going off, and how they've increased and how the ring of fire is lighting up now and this and that and the other. And then you're like a storm chaser only from your easy chair while you're stuffing another donut in your face. And you're sitting there watching that little coffee to wash it down. Good coffee, you know, and you're washing that down and that kind of a thing. And you're clicking there and you're chasing the storms and you're chasing the, and then you're watching all the unrest going on in all the other places. And the next thing you know, well, you're going to have a vaccine, but it's going to have the bubonic plague in it. Because it's starting to come back with Ebola right now. You probably don't even know where Ebola came from. Can I just show you your ignorance? You think you know so much? Ebola was never made to transfer from an animal to a person. Well, how did it do that? In a lab. To be made into a chemical weapon. So that they can take a virus that was intended to thin the population of animals and so they can use it on you bunch of animals, because that's all you are anyway, just animals. That's what Darwin said. You're just animals anyhow. And you're just a drag on the society. And we got to have a way to thin you out. So they did it to create a vaccine. Why would you do that to create a vaccine if it doesn't affect you? Why do I need a vaccine for something that doesn't kill me? Cha-ching. Cha-ching. Preacher, you're talking like a conspiratorial nut. I'm not a conspiracy at all. It's a fact, stupid or uninformed. You don't even know where it came from. People come into this country, they have Ebola. It's spreading from this to this and this. It wouldn't have spread until you manipulated the strands of DNA and RNA in it and you made it susceptible to human beings. That virus was studied in Africa. Where's the outcry? When they used some people as their guinea pigs. Where's the outcry? Why nobody saying that? Why, that was worse than what happened to your ancestor 200 years ago. Where's the outcry? And the world continues on. Job chapter number 41. I'm going to stay on this for a little while. Verse number 10, you say, why? Sometimes you realize how stupid you are, at least if nothing else, to keep your mouth shut. Proverbs says, you know, a man's considered wise if he keeps his mouth shut. Maybe they'll think you know more than you do. Job 41, come all the way down Verse number 9, behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one of the be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? God's making a comparison there to the devil. And he's saying, if you think the devil's fierce, who's going to be able to stand before me? But you understand fierceness is a trait of the devil? He said, well, my fierceness is a trait of God. Really? Holy anger? Holy fierceness? Righteous judgment? How can you do that without knowing somebody completely? How is it possible for you to be able to do that? Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter 23. I don't know. I'm probably bad. Luke chapter 23. I'm probably bad saying what I'm about to say. But people using scriptural or biblical reasons to justify their own fear. And the Bible says fear is not something given to you by God.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
The Bible says the Lord did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and a what? Amen. You must be crazy.
Amen.
You must be clinically insane. You say, why? The Bible said the Lord didn't give you that spirit.
Right.
Well, then it means it comes from somewhere else.
Right.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be harsh. I'm just simply saying you need to be careful about that stuff. Being afraid is one thing. You should be afraid to run a red light.
Yep.
It's not because of getting a ticket. It's because you don't want to get clobbered. Right? You should be afraid when you get up on top of a roof. You should be afraid of falling off that roof. That's not the Lord telling you. That's using your head. You should be afraid running 100 miles an hour in a school zone. You say what? Not just preserving your life, but killing a kid. That kind of afraid is the right thing. This kind of fear is the epitome of insanity. Why does he put it in the same verse? The Lord hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. So if your mind is sound, you're not worrying about all this other stuff. But that doesn't mean that if you're going into the hospital that you shouldn't worry about it and just trust God. Well, you might get sick and die then, stupid. Of any disease.
That's right. Yes.
Not just this. Well, this is more contagious and this is more horrible. And I mean we're pushing 130,000 now. You started at 2.5 million. See, you kinda cherry picking your stats there, aren't you?
Yep. Sir.
It may be more contagious than other things. But when it comes to the statistics about dying, I'm just saying you do your own homework. See, you're assuming that when the cases go up, that means more people dying. You crack me up, man. You don't even realize that thing's just showing you a test that you've had a virus. Don't even mean you had that virus. It means you might have it or might have had it. Or the test might be bad. Some of them came from China. And they didn't come from the wet market. Everybody has it. You say, why? They know Americans. You panic. If everybody has it, it means everybody's going to die. Well, then everybody's going to die. I haven't been exposed. How do you know that? How do you know that? How do you know it's not God's been keeping you around all this time? Keep running your full mouth and the Lord will say, okay, stupid, you thinking it's you doing this because of your distancing and your masking and you're squirting everything down. I'm just gonna back off of that for a little while. You go into places nowadays, you walk in a restaurant and you're ready to smell food. You smell bleach. It's good for weight loss. I mean, it really is, because it's kind of like, are you washing the food in bleach? I mean, The stove top, you know, bleach on a hot stove, you know, you know, the heat's killing it. Well, you never know. Now, some of you are going, okay, well, you're going to get it. Okay, I might. Some friends of mine have it. They do. People I know personally. What do you think about that? I don't. I just know they were exposed and y'all got real nervous there. It's like, have you been exposed? I haven't been to visit them. The fear gripping the heart of a Christian is something benign to the Bible. Okay, it's here. It's real. Look, I'd be concerned if I heard B-52s coming over and one of them was named Enola Gay. And I lived in Nagasaki or Hiroshima. I'd be concerned about that. Sure I would. You say, why? I don't want to get burned like that. That's the right kind of thing. You hear something flying over, go find your hole to get in, man. But this ain't that, folks. Well, what is it? I don't know. I'm sure all of you have an opinion, but I don't know. I really don't. I just know it's here. I'm just living with whatever it is. Good night, man. Where's the time go when you're having fun? Luke chapter number 23. Let me give you this one more verse here, and then we'll move. We'll take a short break. Look at verse number 4. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. He's stirring up Jewry. You know what happened? They became more fierce. You say, what is that? It's a bloodlust. They're bloodthirsty. They're not going to be happy until they manipulate Pilate, who was a politician, who was trying to keep the peace by satiating the needs of the people. And he satiated the needs of the people at the expense of his soul.
Amen.
And he said, I'm going to do what's popular. And when the people, you know, by the people and for the people and about the people, when they began to demand their rights, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said, well, I mean, I don't have no problem with the guy, you know, but y'all go ahead and do what you feel like you need to do now. I mean, I understand, you know, it's all about us keeping the peace among each other and that kind of a thing. So y'all do what you need to do now, and I'm out. I bet you when that man went back to his wife that night, I bet you that woman was quiet as a, what does that old preacher say, a turkey farm in Thanksgiving. I bet you she said, you fool you, I told you not to mess with that guy, and it's fixing to be Hail Columbia around here, man. You just pulled the linchpin, you just started the dominoes falling, man. You just started the beginning of the end of Rome right there. You say, well, the Roman Empire fell because Brutus stabbed Caesar and the Roman Empire and all that kind of stuff. The Roman Empire fell right there.
Right.
The Jews said, we have no king but Caesar. The Lord said, okay. You want Caesar, do you? Okay, I'll give him to you. And I'll let that thing run all the way up through Hitler until he burns you in the ovens. I'll give you the desires of your heart. You say, the Lord behind that? Yeah. His blood be upon us and upon our children's children. Mighty big shot there. You know what those statements did, ladies and gentlemen? They corrupted an entire nation for generations to come. That promise went all the way through past Hitler, all the way up through the Balfour Declaration, and now you have people returning, and guess what's going to happen? It's going to be a whole lot more to do with Netanyahu and the United States and their peace pact and all this other kind of stuff people are talking about. They'll be persecuted by the Antichrist himself as well as everybody on the face of this earth one more time before the Lord said, okay, that's enough. You say, why? His blood be upon us and upon our children's children. You say, what are you trying to say to me, preacher? Mama and daddy and grandma and grandpa and great-grandpa and great-grandma, they begin to permeate something that's not true at all. The next thing you know, it's passed on generation to generation. And that lie is passed on until it defiles the current generation. Be careful, Christian. Father, bless your word. Be with us in the upcoming service. Thank you for these folks. Thank you for their attention. I pray you'll be with us now as we separate here for just a moment or two. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.